Amen. I appreciate his willingness to come up and give a testimony. If you've never done that, you don't know the courage it took her in to do that. And so I appreciate Chandler. And Chandler, I'm glad you said what you did, because it goes right along with my message tonight. And so you just warmed it up. I appreciate that. Before we get into our message tonight, I do want to give you an update. I do want you to pray for Tracy. She's at home, and as most of y'all know, she has one good arm. The other arm, she has a fixator on it, an external fixator. One leg, she has a cast on her one leg. And then her left leg, she just has a splint on it, covering it, but it's missing bone and a kneecap. And the surgery she's having this week will be to do some bone grafting to build a bone there in her leg. And then later there'll be a surgery to do the kneecap. So pray for Tracy, if you will. The bed gets tiring. And she's been in the bed a long time now, almost 2 months now, I guess, that she's been in the bed. And she's looking at a lot longer to be in the bed. So please be in prayer for her. Pray for her physically, that the Lord would provide healing there physically. Also pray for her emotionally, because it gets difficult. I get stir crazy, but I could grab my walker and and get out of the room a little bit and sit on the porch. But she can't get out of bed. We've been able to set her up in a wheelchair, and she's been able to get outside on the porch just a little bit. But it's very painful for her. So pray for her. And then just pray that the Lord will encourage her heart. Pray that the Lord will just encourage her heart, and that spiritually, that her strength will be renewed spiritually. And then the surgery that I have this week, they're taking some plates out of my mouth that they've added in there. They've added a lot, and then I lost a lot, as you could tell. I haven't been on meth. That's not... I know I look like a meth addict up here with my teeth missing and everything, but they're going to be working, taking out some plates. Sort of funny, if I brought my lip down, you would see there's a bicycle link in there, and they screwed it in with two Phillips heads. And I don't know what all that's holding. I'm afraid to take it out because I don't know what it's holding in. But it's holding in there. And it's a good catch for food. That's why I'm putting these mints in my mouth. So don't get real close to me. But they'll be taking that out this week, is what I understand. And trying to line my gum up somewhat. And I'll be losing these teeth most likely. And I get some false teeth, and I hope I don't spit out when I preach. I told him, I'm a preacher. We need to be careful what we do, because I got to preach. That's what God's called me to do, and I know that he'll allow me to do that. So please be in prayer for us this week, if you would, in a special way, that God will bless any surgeries. The doctor told Tracy that when he goes into that leg, opens it up, that he hopes that the soft tissue has healed. Because if the soft tissue hasn't healed, there's a chance that she could lose that leg. And so we're praying that the Lord will provide that healing. The good thing is, even though there's no bone there, she could wiggle her foot and her toes, pump her foot. And so to me, that's a good sign. But I'm not a doctor. But it does look like a good sign to me. And we're just praying. The Lord has already done so much for us. He has blessed us so much. And I praise his name for that. And I'm glad that he has used his people to send blessings our way. And God has used many of you just to be a blessing to us and an encouragement to us. And we want to thank you for that. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I entitled my message tonight, Chandler, Just Keep Swimming. That's a quote from my famous fish. Just keep swimming. And that's what I want Chandler to do. I want to encourage him just to keep swimming. And I want, y'all could listen in tonight, okay? But this is between me and Bowtie tonight. And y'all can listen in and get a blessing from it if you'd like. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And look, if you would, at verse number 8. I'll just sort of jump in the middle. We're going to use many of these verses of Scripture. Verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and have brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If you look in verse number 8, Paul tells Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And then if you look in verse number 12, Paul says, for I am not ashamed. Not ashamed. I guess if there was a secondary title for my message, it would be not ashamed. Not ashamed. Now in this text, Paul is writing to Timothy. He's writing to his young son in the Lord. And I say young, but Timothy most likely is about 36 years of age at this writing. But Paul, of course, was 30-something years older than Timothy. And Timothy was his son in the Lord. And he's writing to Timothy to encourage Timothy that he wants him to keep continuing in the faith. I want you to keep on doing what you're doing. I want you not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I don't want you to be ashamed of the testimony that you have. And I don't want you to be ashamed of the prisoner. Paul says, I don't want you to be ashamed of me. Don't turn aside. Don't get distracted. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. Do not be ashamed, is the message that Paul is given to Timothy. I remember this quote, Chandler. It says, any old fish can float with the current, but it takes one with courage to swim against the flow. It's easy just to float with the crowd. It's easy to go with the crowd. But it takes courage to take a stand. And what Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to take a stand. I want you to have courage and take a stand. And what I want to say to Chandler tonight is, Chandler, just keep swimming. Don't drift with the current. Don't go with the flow. Swim against the current. Take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the words in the testimony that he gave, that he's had a good home. But he's headed to a college, a secular college, and people are going to believe different. They're going to have different ideas. And Chandler, you don't have a clue yet what you're going to confront when you go to this college. Not just different religions here, but you're going to meet people from around the world with different ideas and different religions. And I want to encourage you tonight to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep swimming against the flow. Now, I don't want to scare you tonight, but there's 9 points, so let me quickly get to them. Look, if you would, at verse number 5. Verse number 5, Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. I'd say, first of all, Chandler, that if you're going to keep swimming, you have to remember your heritage. Remember your heritage. What a wonderful testimony of a father that was able to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. A mother that has prayed for you. A sister that loves you and has prayed for you and encourages you and helps you. You have a great heritage and grandparents that love you. What a great heritage. And I know the church that you grew up in. And I know the pastor, Brother Pinion. And I know that you've had a great heritage. Remember your heritage. On those lonely days at college, those hard days at college, when you're confronted with different ideas, remember the investment that your family has put into you. Remember your heritage. Number 2, look at verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I would say, remember your gift. Remember your gift. Now, Chandler, you may not know exactly how God has gifted you. It's probably obvious to others how that God has gifted you. But God has given you special gifts. The great thing about being a Christian is that every Christian, everyone tonight that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, has been given a gift. And it's a gift that we have been given so that we could minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are brothers and sisters in Christ that need you fulfilling your gift. There's those that you could encourage. There's those that you could help. There's those that you could minister to. In fact, there's those that you could be a witness to when you remember the gift that is in you. God has given you a gift. God has instilled. Now, when Paul is talking to Timothy, Paul laid his hands on Timothy. Paul laid his hands on Timothy, and there was a gift that was in him. And Paul says, I want you to stir it up. The image of that stirring up is of a fire that has grown cold. And you stir up that fire. And when you stir up that fire, those coals that are in there begin to shine again. And then you blow on those coals a little bit, and that fire will start to light up again. And you can stick some more wood on there, and there could be a bright blaze. And what I want to challenge you to do, Chandler, is to remember the gift that God has given you. And I hope that we could encourage you and blow on those embers and help create that flame so that you could be a great minister for the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever area God has called you to do. Look at verse number 7. I would challenge you to consider your resources. I'm glad that you're not headed down to college all on your own. God's just not throwing you down there in that college all on your own. He's given you some resources. Look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Just by way of a personal testimony, the past several weeks, fear has entered in to our room. On many occasions. And when fear enters in, we remind each other that God does not bring fear. God does not bring fear of the future. God does not bring fear of circumstances. God does not bring fear of the physical ailments or difficulties that we have. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but listen to the resources that God has given us. He's given us power. That word power, the Greek word is dunamis. We get our word dynamite from that. That's the kind of power that God has given us. Chandler, when you're off by yourself there at college, just remember that God has dynamite in you. That power that's in you. God has given you not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. The spirit of love. I'll tell you, that's something we lack today, isn't it? In our churches. Many churches today lack love. But I'm glad that God has given that resource to us. The resource of power, of love, and look at this, a sound mind. A sound mind. Able to make wise decisions based upon God's word and the instructions that God has given you. So consider the resources that you have. Something you touched on, look at verse number 8. I would say anticipate suffering. Anticipate suffering. I mean, if you're going to swim upstream, there's going to be friction. There's going to be some suffering. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul is saying, listen, I'm a prisoner. Don't be ashamed of me and anticipate suffering. Suffering will come. The Bible says that we will experience suffering. In fact, if the Lord said that if he endured suffering, how much more his followers are going to endure suffering? We will endure suffering. We're going to have hardships. We're going to have conflicts. And if you take a stand for Christ, you're going to face conflicts in your life. You're going to have suffering in your life. I would say take a stand. Swim against the flow. Don't be ashamed. Take the stand for Christ. Look, if you would, number 5. Remember God. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Remember God. Remember what He's done for you. Look what it says in these verses. He's called us to a holy calling. Chandler, it's not by accident that when you were a boy and your teacher was teaching a revelation that the Holy Spirit began to speak to your heart. That was something God had planned before the foundation of the world. He knew exactly who you were. He knew exactly what you needed. He knew exactly how that you would receive the message when He called. And He spoke to your heart and He called. Remember what God has done for you. Do you know, if you get discouraged swimming upstream, all you have to do is remember what God has already done for you. Remember how that He's been faithful to call you, but not only that, He's given you a purpose. God didn't just call you to sit on a pew. God just didn't call you just to enjoy a Christian life. God has called you for a purpose to minister for Him, to be busy for Him. And remember God. He has a purpose. Remember the grace that has been given. Remember how He abolished death. Remember how He has given light. And remember how that He's prepared a home for you in heaven. What an encouragement when friction comes. What an encouragement when obstacles come. You could keep swimming if you remember God. Verse number 11, we need to realize our duty. If you're going to take a stand for Christ, if you're not going to be ashamed, then you need to remember your duty. Paul says, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, Chandler, I don't know what God has for you. I believe that you are gifted and I believe that God could use you in a great way. But I want you to remember that God has called you. Now, whatever career path you choose, are you still going in the area of science, biology, engineering? Okay. Whatever direction you're going, God could use you. But remember this. First, you're a Christian. And then second, you'll be an engineer. An engineer may put food on your table, but being a Christian is your calling. That's what God has called you to do. And I hope y'all are listening in. Are y'all listening in? I mean, I'm preaching to Chandler, but I hope everybody's listening in because that's what God has called us first, is to be a Christian. That's not second. That's first. We're to be a Christian. We're to be faithful to Christ. We may have to do something else to put food on our table, but we have a high calling from God. We have a calling to be faithful, and we need to remember our duty. I like this, verse number 12. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Listen to what he says. For the which cause I suffer these things. Now, Paul has suffered so much. I told Tracy, I said, I'm not going to preach on grace anymore or on testing or on patience because I'm tired of being tried. I'm tired of those messages coming back. And so no more preaching on that. I'm Joel Osteen from here on out. It's going to be love. It's going to be, I'm thinking of even getting my hair kinky, curling my hair a little, getting a little perm. No more of this testing and troubles and trial stuff because I'm a little tired of that, a little worn out from that. But look what he says. I suffered these things. He says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of Christ. He's in prison. In fact, he's about to lose his life. In verse number 4, chapter 4, he tells us that he's ready to be offered. And this we know that right after writing this epistle to Timothy, we know that his life is taken from him. I mean, his head is severed from his body. But listen to what Paul says. He's not ashamed. You know, I like to picture Paul. I like to picture him as they lead him out of that dungeon and they lead him to that chopping block. And they're ready to take off his head for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder if they ask him if there was any last words. Do you know what I think he probably said? for I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I think he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I'm ready to be offered. Chandler, I want you to trust the Lord. Trust Him. Depend upon Him. Listen to what He says. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What day is He talking about? He's talking about until we see Christ. He says, what I have committed to Him. Here's another verse that Paul gives. There's another verse that Paul says, He's going to complete that which He starts in us. That's the idea of it. That Christ is not going to give up on us. He's not going to fail us. He's going to complete that which He started it. He which hath begun a good work in you, thank you, Lord, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The good work that He started in you, He's not going to quit. He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to keep working on you. So just trust Him. Just trust the Lord. And then verse 13, He says, hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. I would say this, remember the doctrine that you've been taught. Remember the teaching. Now, I don't expect you to remember all the messages you've ever heard. But I do want you to remember that the Lord saved you by His wonderful grace. Remember what He has done for you. And remember the doctrine of God's Word. You know, I imagine you might have some late night debates with maybe roommates, maybe friends. And those aren't bad, those are good. Because that solidifies your faith. That helps you strengthen your faith. And I would say that if you're going to keep swimming against the flow, that you need to remember the doctrine. That's your foundation. That's our hope. That's what we stand upon, is the doctrine of the Word of God. Not the doctrine of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church or the doctrine of the Baptist. It is the doctrine of the Word of God that we must stand on. We must stand upon God's Word. And when you stand upon God's Word, you're able to take a stand and swim upstream. Here's the last thing that I want you to see. And I may be stretching it just a little bit here. But I want you to see that if you're going to swim upstream, that you must choose good friends. Choose good friends. Now, look at the text. This is what Paul says in verse 15. He says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Paul had some friends that because he was a prisoner. Paul had some friends because he has taken a stand for Christ. Paul had some friends because of his suffering that turned away from him, and they're no longer his friend. They are no longer following him. But look, if you would, at the next verse. He says, the Lord give mercy into the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Paul had a friend that encouraged him. Paul had a friend that when he was weary, even though he was chained to a Roman soldier, this friend was not ashamed to come to him and encourage him and strengthen him. And Chandler, the best thing that you could do is when you get to college is to find out a good Christian friend. Find a good Christian friend that you could pray with. Find a good Christian friend that could encourage you, and you could encourage him, that he could help you, and you could help him, and you could share what God has given you in your devotion, and he could share what God has given him in devotion, and be an encouragement to you. One that's not going to be ashamed of you when you give your testimony. Not one that will leave you when you're ready to go to church or may discourage you or make fun of you. But find good friends. You know, they say when you go through life that a very fortunate person may have 4 to 5 good friends throughout their life. Now, I think that's sort of sad. Because as Christians, I think we end up with quite a few more than that. I have been amazed at the friends who have come out to support us and to pray for us and to encourage us. Just one day in the waiting room, somebody took a picture, and there was 138 people that had been through the waiting room and through the hospital just on one day, they said. They told us. Just amazing, the friends that came through and the people who has loved us. I feel very fortunate to have found some good friends. Friends that could encourage me. Friends that could pray with me. And Chandler, I challenge you to find some good friends. You know, Paul encouraged Timothy. And Timothy, being a young preacher, stood strong for the Lord and led the church of Ephesus to some great victories. Even in midst of persecution and midst of trials, he was able to lead the church of Ephesus to some great victories, even being commended by the Lord in the book of Revelation. What a great church. And he was encouraged by Paul. And Chandler, I want to encourage you tonight just to keep swimming. Me and Dory, that's what we say. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Any fish could float downstream. But I want to encourage you tonight to keep swimming. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that you might use these words that we've given tonight to encourage Chandler. Lord, I appreciate his testimony. I appreciate the stand that he's taken. And Lord, I just wanted to encourage him tonight just to keep swimming, just to keep standing, just to stay faithful to the Lord and not to be ashamed. Now, Lord, I pray that you might encourage him tonight. In thy name we pray. I want to do something a little different in the invitation tonight. As they begin to play,